Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to 1 Kings chapter 15. Verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. Now in the 18th year of King Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, reigned Abijam over Judah. 3 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Maakah, the daughter of Abishalom. And he walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God as the heart of David his father. Nevertheless, for David's sake did the Lord his God give him a lamp in Jerusalem to set up his son after him and to establish Jerusalem, because David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord and turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. And there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all the days of his life. Now the rest of the acts of Abijam and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And there was war between Abijam and Jeroboam. And Abijam slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David, and Asa his son reigned in his stead. And in the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, reigned Asa over Judah. And 41 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Maakah, the daughter of Abishalom. And Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father. And he took away the Sodomites out of the land, and removed all the idols that his fathers had made. And also Maakah, his mother, even her he removed from being queen, because she had made an idol in a grove. And Asa destroyed her idol, and burnt it by the brook Kidron. But the high places were not removed. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was perfect with the Lord all his days. And he brought in the things which his father had dedicated, and the things which himself had dedicated, into the house of the Lord, silver and gold and vessels. And there was war between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, all their days. And Baasha, king of Israel, went up against Judah and built Ramah, that he might not suffer any to go out or to come in to Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa took all the silver and the gold that were left in the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house, and delivered them into the hand of his servants. And King Asa sent them to Ben-Hadad, the son of Tabrimon, the son of Hezion, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, "There is a league between me and thee, and between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent unto thee a present of silver and gold. Come and break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me." So Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa, and sent the captains of the hosts which he had against the cities of Israel, and smote Ijon and Dan and Abel-Meth-Maakah and all Kinnereth with all the land of Naphtali. And it came to pass, when Baasha heard thereof, that he left off building Ramah, and dwelt in Tirzah. Then King Asa made a proclamation throughout all Judah, none was exempted. And they took away the stones of Ramah, and the timber thereof, wherewith Baasha had builded, and King Asa built with them Geba of Benjamin and Mizpah. The rest of all the acts of Asa, and all his might, and all that he did, and the cities which he built, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? Nevertheless, in the time of his old age, he was diseased in his feet. And Asa slept with his fathers, and was buried with his fathers in the city of David his father, and Jehoshaphat his son reigned in his stead. And Nadab, the son of Jeroboam, began to reign over Israel in the second year of Asa, king of Judah, and reigned over Israel 2 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way of his father, and in his sin wherewith he made Israel to sin. And Baasha, the son of Ahijah, of the house of Issachar, conspired against him, and Baasha smote him, at Gibbethon, which belonged to the Philistines, for Nadab and all Israel laid siege to Gibbethon. Even in the third year of Asa, king of Judah, did Baasha slay him, and reigned in his stead. And it came to pass, when he reigned, that he smote all the house of Jeroboam. He left not to Jeroboam any that breathed, until he had destroyed him, according to the saying of the Lord, which he spake by his servant Ahijah the Shilonite, because of the sins of Jeroboam which he sinned, and which he made, and which he made Israel to sin, by his provocation, wherewith he provoked the Lord God of Israel to anger. Now the rest of the acts of Nadab, and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? And there was war between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, all their days. In the third year of Asa, king of Judah, began Baasha, the son of Ahijah, to reign over all Israel in Tirzah, 24 years, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way of Jeroboam, and in his sin, wherewith he made Israel to sin. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Last week we began the portion of the book of 1 Kings, where we now begin to talk about the southern, northern kingdoms, and the kings that reigned in the various eras and epochs in ancient Israel and Judah. So, following on then from King Rehoboam, we have the reign of Abijam, and Abijam follows after the same sins that Rehoboam followed after. He is also an idolater, and the Lord takes him away. And it is Asa, his son, who reigns in his stead. Even the good kings that we see in this era have particular sins that they bring to the table. They are not good in the sense that they are perfect, but they are good in the sense that they are reforming. Okay, so Asa is indeed a reformer. He is a reforming king, but he is not a perfect king. There are three times in his life that he is rebuked by the prophet here in either 1 Kings or I think it's 2 Chronicles chapter 14, where we read of the rest of Asa's life. In 2 Chronicles, 1 and 2 Chronicles, you remember we're talking about the history of the tabernacle, especially as it exists in and about the southern kingdom there. And so, while the book of the Kings deals with both the northern and the southern kingdom. So, if we want to talk a little bit about Asa and his reforming ways, we can find many good things to speak about with Asa. We want to notice something very particular about Asa, and that is that family ties meant less to him than godly living. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Remember, our Lord Jesus Christ had the same understanding. When he was speaking with his disciples one day, someone came into the assembly, and I get a sense that they were somewhat impatient with him. And they said something like this: "Don't you know that your mother and your brothers are outside and they're waiting to speak to you? Don't you have any family loyalty?" Jesus' answer is instructive and arresting. Who is my brother, my mother, my father? Who is my real family? Those who hear the word of God and do it. That's what Christ said. And so Asa removed his mother from being queen when she built an idol grove. "You can no longer be queen, Mum." That would be a tough thing to do. That would be a tough thing to do. And yet he did. He did, because he was a reformer. He did, however, have some problems. And we want to bring those problems up not so we can say, "Nanny, nanny, Asa wasn't so good," make ourselves feel better, but so we can recognize those same sins in ourselves and be delivered from them, confess them, and repent of them. And so the first thing that we want to see is, now they're in Ramah. That was kind of like a border town between Israel and Judah. It was a gate through which the people that would come south to worship God appropriately, they would pass through Ramah on their way to Jerusalem. And so Baasha said, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to build up Ramah and make it a fortified city so that no one can get through Ramah going south to Jerusalem. Don't want them to do that. If they keep doing that, pretty soon all my kingdom will move south and I won't have a kingdom. So he builds up Ramah, fortifies it. Probably sent, you know, garrisons there, soldiers. Blocked it up so that you could no longer travel south into Jerusalem through Ramah. Well, what does Asa do? Asa makes a league with Ben-Hadad, king of Syria. It doesn't say so here, but in the Chronicles account, the prophet Jehu, I believe it's Jehu. No, it's not. It's Oded. The prophet Oded. Excuse me. The prophet Oded is sent to Asa to rebuke him for making a league with the king of Syria. Now, we have to understand that Asa's desire was right. His method was wrong. Sometimes good desires lead to poor methods. His desire was right. We need to open up Ramah. We need to open Ramah so the people can come through, come down to worship, like the Lord has commanded. And so he goes to the king of Syria to do that rather than to the Lord. So he had a good desire but a faulty method. Many times we're the same way. Good desire, faulty method. Same thing was true later on in his life with regard to his feet. All it says here in 1 Kings is that he was lame in his feet toward the end of his life. But in 2 Chronicles 14, we read that he actually had a difficulty in that he sought to the physicians and not to the Lord. In other words, he trusted in lawful means. Trusting in lawful means is a sin against which commandment? The first commandment. Using unlawful means and trusting in lawful means is a sin against the first commandment. It's the sin against having any God but God. You make those means an idol when you trust in means. Seems like Asa had some good desires, but throughout his life he had a problem with means. What means he would use and what means he would not. What does that mean? What does that mean? It means that we ought to be careful the means that we use and our attitude toward them. The end does not justify the means. We don't do evil that good may come. We don't argue from outcomes. Right? Oh, well, this has to be of the Lord. Look at the fruit it's bearing. Well, the Lord's able to preach from a donkey. Outcomes are not our business. I was talking with one of the guys at work yesterday. We had a particular difficult thing happen. It was a blow to him. You know, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. What am I supposed to do? Live in the means. Live in the means. You can't control the outcomes. You can control what means that you operate in and how you use means. That's something you can do. That's something you can live in. Outcomes, apply your best means. In two identical situations, you have two different outcomes. Outcomes aren't up to you, but the use of means is. And your attitude toward the use of means. Very, very important. See, this is a problem that Asa had. He used the wrong means. He had good desires, but wrong means. All right, so then let's just switch for a moment to the northern kingdom, and we'll see how we become a king now in the northern kingdom. Remember how we become a king? We become a king through assassination. You kill the king, you get to be the king. And so the northern kingdom is falling into such disarray now that they have become such idolaters, so wicked, that their best and brightest, who would their best and brightest be, do you think? Well, it ought to be their kings. The royalty, the most educated, the most upright, right? He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. The last words of David. Instead of that, what we have is promotion through assassination. And so we see then that the corruption of the northern kingdom, starting out as it did in first commandment violations, ends up in disrespect for the law in general. You realize that whenever God judged Israel of old, Judah of old, that he did so, and the cry of the Lord against that people was almost always first table violation, first table violation, first table violation. You're going to be carried away to Babylon. Why? So that my land may enjoy her Sabbaths. What did the northern kingdom do? They set up groves, idol worship. What was God's complaint against the southern kingdom when he finally destroyed it? Remember in Zephaniah? Zephaniah chapter 1, what's going on there? We have priests doing double duty. In the morning they worship Yahweh, and in the afternoon they go down to the idol houses, the Kemarims. Worship the host of heaven on top of their houses and under every green tree and on every high hill. And falling away in first commandment violation leads to second commandment violation. Right? When we think on the Ten Commandments, you know, we are wont to say, well, the first table is man's duty to God. And the second table is man's duty to man. Have you ever heard it characterized that way? It's not a good characterization. The first table is man's duty to God, true enough. The second table is man's duty to man under God, because if you're not under God, there is no duty to man. Right? And so falling away in the first table inexorably leads to falling away in the second. You won't honor God as God in the first table. You certainly won't honor God as God in the second table, as you how you treat one another. This won't do it. All right, thus ends the reading then of 1 Kings chapter 15. Let's stand and continue praising God in the singing of psalms.